You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get your last word.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, the co-host Runs.
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, I just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with Last Word on Sports.com. You can actually find wrestling articles on Last Word on ProWrestling.com as we've migrated to a new site. We're also brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com and the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, with that out of the way, so no big news this week, really, right? I mean, no title changes.
I mean, just probably the greatest news of my wrestling life.
Field of Honor was fantastic, but I guess the news that you must be talking about might be that your little co-host sitting above your shoulder on the right, that's your little KO Pop'em.
Funko Pop, which...
Funko Pop.
Same. Just let me also preface this by saying I bought... I don't know, 3 days before he won the championship, thankfully.
Why isn't there a El Generico one, by the way?
I wish there was, man. I found there was somebody on like Instagram that I found, and like they made like custom ones. So like I wrote him a message. I was like, oh, you know, I was just wondering how much that costs. They're like, oh, it's like $130. Like, yo, it's a $6 figure. Are you $130? Are you shitting me?
I would pay $130 for a Funko Pop of me, though.
130, like, you could buy the regular one and try and do it yourself for $10.
I think I'll just buy
could buy 13 of the blank ones and eventually master it yourself and still come out ahead.
I'll obviously just buy Logan and then just try to, like maneuver just fuck that with way.
It. Yeah, exactly. Just color in the clothes and shit like that.
So, yeah, so Kevin Owens.
Oh, my God. Like, all right. So, I mean, I don't think either one of us really truly believed that Kevin Owens was winning. And I think that's being conditioned, you know, the way that we are with the WWE style and the typical guys who are on top. But, you know, logically, when we broke it down, it was almost like, okay, but who else other than Owens, you know? And that's where a lot of the big cast buzz came in, and then people were already upset about Roman Reigns. And it was just like, you know, they weren't going to put it on Rollins. They didn't do it the first time they had the chance. They weren't going to give him the belt after he took out the guy who actually won it, you know? So that part... It's still, even with that logic, I was like, yeah, Kevin Owens is not winning the belt. Like, he's in a tag team right now, you know?
Yeah, first of all, I thought Cass went out a little bit too early.
They started that match. It was a long time before he got eliminated. Yeah. Yes, it went a long time after, but I don't think he had a poor showing by any means.
I just feel like if you tuned into Raw late, you're like, oh, I guess this is a triple threat match for the title.
Well, if you tuned into Raw at 10:55, then you're an asshole. I mean, don't you, you know?
Don't listen to the show.
Yeah, I don't want you associated with wrestling.
So I'm watching it, and then Triple H comes out and attacks Reigns, which, you know.
Okay, no problem. Yep.
Makes sense, right? Because the last thing that we saw of Triple H on TV was losing to Reigns. And his wife being speared. So,
and I mean, I don't think I said this directly to you, or maybe you know, not that day, but you know, like a little right before the main event started, I was talking to John, and I was like, you know, he said he thinks it had to be Kevin Owens, and I was like, I don't know, I could see like it coming down to Reigns and Rollins, and the authority, like, you know, you think Foley and Steph are there to help Rollins, but they help Reigns, and we go that way. So a turn of some sort was something I was waiting for. I don't know why, but I never even considered Triple H being that guy.
Well, I think they're having a good job of pulling him off TV, you know.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that the Stephanie getting involved directly can't, you know, eventually there's not really a payoff to that.
Correct.
You know, and we've seen that before. I don't think they're, you know, Foley's never going to get back in the ring, I think, for WWE. Way. So they don't want to.
I mean, like, the guy can barely walk. Yeah. You know? Like, it's tough.
So they're not going to have him get involved, and that's not his character either. You know, he's the good guy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's almost like just the good employee, you know, who's a good guy when his boss isn't around, but when she's around, he follows what she says. So Triple H is a good choice. I mean, the only issue I might have with the whole thing is, you know, where does this go with Triple H being involved again? You know, is there going to be another match with Triple H? I like Triple H.
I think he got his receipt on Roman for WrestleMania, and we don't need to necessarily even, like, touch on that. Like, it was just part of what happened. And I think we go with him and Rollins in some form or another. And, you know, I want to get into the finish in a minute. But this, what if this is, you know, an NXT storyline? Like, not necessarily an invasion, but a takeover, if you will. You know, it's Kevin Owens in the power position. Triple H is there. Maybe he brings up the Revival, or he has Samoa Joe, or, you know, he brings whoever and comes and goes. And then they feud with Stephanie, Foley, Rollins, whoever it is, you know. Stephanie eventually aligns with Triple H.
Well, that'd be interesting. I mean, I was listening to Owens' interview. Who's that? I think he was on Sam Roberts' podcast.
I just listened to it, yep.
First of all, and this is what Statwife says is great about Owens, but does he just every single time gotta go at Sami Zayn?
I was gonna text you, like, as I was listening to it, like, yo, even on, like, the podcast.
Like, he's being so real and being so honest, and then he even goes as far as to go, yeah, well, Sami Zayn, you know, he was trained, well, because Roberts tried to mention Generico, and he's like,
the best.
He's like, you know, yeah, he trained him, so that's obviously why he's just as much of a jerk.
He's just a big fan of his, like, you know, I don't know why he's doing that. And then, like, at one point, he's telling the story about Austin in the airport, and he says, like, yeah, you know, Sami Zayn was just ready to go fight. And he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have beat him up like I did. He's the best. But, you know, now, think about, at some point in the near future, for the WWE Universal Championship, whatever, the main title on Monday Night Raw, we are going to get a Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens feud.
I'm not even going to get excited about that right now.
Oh, my God, man.
Because, like, all that's going to happen is he's going to lose somehow. And...
But that's what Sami Zayn does. That doesn't matter. Oh, man, the matches they're going to have. Wow. You just heard my giddy little girl laugh. Like, that's how excited it makes me, you know? It's just, like, pure... Where am I?
Do you think kayfabe... Do you think Owen stays in kayfabe, like, with his son? Like, he's like, oh, I really like Sami Zayn. And he's like, no, Sami Zayn's a piece of trash. Like, where he comes over and he's mean to him, like, at dinner and stuff until the kid goes to sleep. Like,
like, they're boys in real life, you know? So, like, I'm sure Owen knows Sami Zayn.
So, do you want to talk about the finish first? Or do you want to...
Yes.
Because we kind of talked about Owen real quick, and I wanted to touch on something, but...
Like... Go ahead. You can touch on Owen, and then we'll...
All right. So, I don't know. You know, a lot of people have... maybe seen it, this writer for ESPN, Amin.
Why even bother? Yeah, go ahead.
Whatever. I just, because I want to trash him just here for a second. I just, you know, Owen, Kevin Owens put up on social media that his wife had sent him the reaction his son had right after the win, you know, and then this guy ends up tweeting out basically until he found out it was scripted. So it kind of turned into this whole thing where you know, people felt that he was attacking Owens. That would be his name. And, you know, people were kind of really reacting negatively all over. You know, some people were trying to justify it, saying that he was making fun of wrestling and not making fun of the kid. But it just came off as unneeded, you know, like, overall.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think in general he was... talking about wrestling and not, I'm sure he doesn't know that Owen was autistic or anything like that. So I think, you know, that opened the door. And then wrestling fans tried to defend that, and some people took it, of course, some people didn't. But then in reading some of those tweets, it was a lot of just like, oh, come on, man. Like, just shut the fuck up. Like, you know, don't talk about something you're ignorant on, you know? And that part is what got me. And then, like, there was one of his, like, tweets that he liked that was like, oh, I'll help you, you autistic bitch. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, what? And then, like, I tweeted at him with the picture of him. Like, eventually it was, like, the like wasn't there anymore. So I was like, all right, whatever. Maybe they're by accident. Maybe weren't paying attention. But just not a – that's a bad coincidence to have on that day. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think people took it a little bit out of context. I kind of agree. I think it was that guy Greg was saying it. Like, you know, if you're going to say something about wrestling and then – wrestling fans can't defend themselves because then they're losers and this and that. Mm-hmm. Like then you know, there's no win-win. So, you know, it is what it is. I was annoyed by certain elements, but it wasn't something that I let like fucking take over my life.
Oh no, it didn't bother me. I mean, the fact that Kevin Owens' son is autistic doesn't even matter to me. Like,
yeah,
what it is like I can come.
Which
out
people
of the-
you know attacked him as like. That's
yeah,
what he was
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, it's like I can come out of the bedroom in the morning if I sleep late, and you know, my son gets excited and he's like, "Daddy!" And that's like super hype level. Like, you know, you don't even do anything; you just walk in the room. It's like you're getting a pop just for like being there. You know, so like when his son is old, you know, obviously when my son's older and can like be happy about something, you know, just don't rain on that parade. You know, and that's
yeah.
That's
there,
really
there
what
was
it is.
There was no need, you know, to say that and. You know, him not knowing anything about wrestling and, you know, not knowing what the title signifies and not knowing who Kevin Owens is and why it's important that he's the champion, you know, that kind of stuff is ignorance. And there's no response for ignorance because you're just going to get more ignorance. You know, like, if I explain something to you, like... There was a person at my job. I was wearing a Seth Rollins shirt. They were like, "Oh, redesign, rebuild, reclaim. What's that?" I was like, "Oh, well, it's a wrestler, you know, blah blah blah." And they were like, "Oh, like you know, it's fake, right?" And I was just like, "I was like, yeah, well, you know, okay. I don't know what. There's no point for me to say anything to you because what am I going to say? Hey, well, this guy got busted open. And I'm like, you know, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about, then I'm just going to move on. Yeah. A lot of people don't know how to do, and I get it. I get you're defensive about certain things, but, you know, it's not worth it.
Yeah, you know, it'll always be, there's always going to be a stigma with I think, wrestling fans that you just got to deal with. You know, you just kind of got to ignore it at a certain point. You know, and just kind of move forward. Understand that it's something that you like, and people who don't watch it aren't going to get it.
Yeah, exactly. And... You know, I think Rosenberg mentioned, like, you don't want someone like him to get it. You don't want someone mm-hmm. like him to finally be like, oh, yo, okay, I understand what you're saying. Because then it's not a wrestling fan. You're a fake fan. You're someone who just jumped on. You know, it is what it is. But now, I think it was discussed on Shoemaker, but I thought it immediately. And I noticed this part. Actually, it was on the Taz Show, which I've been listening to a lot. Actually, very good. And it's every day, so that's pretty cool.
Red Hook represent.
So you're not from Red Hook.
Well, anyway. I mean, I hang out in Red Hook, okay?
Anyway, so right when Triple H throws Owens in the ring, he says something to him. And, you know, like he's pulling him in. He's like, he whispers something, throws him in the ring. And right there, I was like, oh, he's turning on Rollins. That's it. Like, in my mind, what he just said to him was, like, instructions. And Taz questioned, and I had the same thought because his reaction was so amazing. Did Kevin Owens know? Is it possible that Kevin Owens was not aware he was winning the title at that moment? Triple H whispers something, throws him in the corner, like, you know, and I think exactly Taz said it, and I completely agree. That he said, like, yo, you're going to win the belt. You're going over. Follow my lead. And then Owens just followed his lead. Like, that reaction on Kevin Owens' face, I don't care how good that man is. That was one of the greatest reactions I've ever seen. And it was so pure. Like, I don't know.
That would be Wow. I mean, I don't know if there's anything better than that. Like, while crazy, you're in right? the middle, to just random, to find out right then that you're going to win?
No, now my questions are like, well, then how do they even have that match? Like, if he doesn't know he's winning, you know, Rollins probably knew. But I don't know. Maybe they just told them Rollins was going over and you know, go on from there. And if that's the case, then my God, great fucking job, WWE, because it made the moment that much better. And if not, then kudos to Kevin Owens for selling the hell out of it. But either way, great turn. I didn't really see coming. Even if I did, I still enjoyed the hell out of it. Rollins took that pedigree better than anyone I've seen in a recent while. Like, struggling to get out of it and stuff was so good. After the fact, like, Rollins getting in Stephanie's face. I don't know if you saw, like, they posted on WWE.com. Like, what the hell was that? What was that? You know, and I love Triple H getting in Foley's face. That was just perfect. And Stephanie's look. Perfectly done. Perfectly done.
I think the best part about it was, my favorite part, was when Triple H had Rollins hooked and just stares at Owens like, yo, dude, doing this for you. Like, that was the best part.
That part was fantastic. And then Owens pinning Rollins and just staring at Triple H like, what the fuck? Was just, you know, that added to it so much more. And wow, that was pretty much my exact reaction, because I wasn't expecting Kevin Owens to win the title on Monday Night Raw, and to see it was something else. You know, it's one of those things, yeah, maybe it'll happen, but I got to see it to believe it, especially in WWE. And wow, congratulations. It's been a fun journey watching literally everything he's done from Ring of Honor. The first time I ever went to Ring of Honor, we watched him and Generico versus the Wolves, Ladder War, and I was sold. That was it. Kevin Owens was legitimately my favorite wrestler, and watching Ring of Honor, PWG, Squared Circle Wrestling, all of that stuff, when I heard he was the champion, or I heard he was there, it made me want to watch it. Opened my eyes to Adam Cole and Elgin and all of those guys. So, you know, little do we know how much someone like that will affect our life, you know, or just not necessarily personally, but just enjoyment-wise, and it's amazing.
I mean, almost bigger news than that on Monday Night Raw, of course, Sami Zayn, with an ankle injury, was able to beat Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I think I could beat Jinder Mahal, like, now.
Like, right now?
Like, yeah, like, if they called me, like, hey, you have a match with Jinder Mahal, you're going over. All right,
shoot match?
Yeah, like, yeah, no problem, sure. Clearly not a shoot match.
Okay, all right.
But I think overwise.
I mean, like, you know,
why? I think I said this a few weeks ago. Why the hell even bring this guy back? You're like, you're not even using him. Well, what the hell was the point?
I think his whole gimmick now should just be like that nobody gets his name right and they call him Jinder Mahal.
His gimmick should be an evil foreigner. Like, that's what it.
But
you
we're
know,
past
like,
that, aren't we?
No,
with him?
But. No, you can't do, it you still can't do gets it. Over. It still gets the heat.
But you can't do it with... Okay, what's the easiest way for me to... You can't do evil foreigner WWE with that part of the world right now.
With India?
Yeah, I don't think, like, anywhere... I don't know. I don't think you can do it appropriately. There are too many...
Yeah, like, all he has to do is come out and be like, you know, in India, I'm a billionaire, and I'm better than you, and I have more money, so that makes me better. Look, I got hired. I didn't have to do anything. Like, you know, like, that's all he has to do is be MVP, like, and he's good to go.
I think he just needs Great Khali's backing.
Yeah, well, like, exactly. Put Daivari with him, and that's it.
What happened
instant
to Daivari?
Heat, you know, it's instant heat. I get the stereotyping and the reasons why. However, this man is not even being used, period, other than to put a guy over every other week. So what the hell? Like, you brought him back, he beat Heath Slater. Okay, great. Now what? Nothing. So give him something. You know, and if he's going to be a heel, then what easier, better way than to make him and put him with Rusev. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, they just did it. I know. But you can do something.
By the way, speaking of Heath Slater, That segment was on SmackDown?
Yes. All well, right. Okay. I thought you were going to talk about the match. Yes. The segment. Go ahead.
Wow. I just... The Spam, the Cheese Whiz, the crackers, Rhino almost being weirder than the whole situation. Now, I was watching it with Stat
Rhino Wife. Was perfectly Rhino, though. Yeah. That was my whole thing. Like, yeah, he's also, he's a freak. Like, he's just he's sitting there.
Loving it. He's freaking out, Renee. Do you think, now, hold on, now, in the storyline, was that fake? Like, was that Heath putting a show on? Or is that really his life? No, I'm not saying, is that really his life? What I'm asking is, in the story, did Heath hire that lady?
As his character, no, that's his.
So that's his life. That's his life.
Yes.
Because I thought, like, later on we'd come out that he actually lives, like, in a mansion, and that's not his wife.
No. Like, on Talking Smack, he continued, like, you know, I'm getting that double wide trailer as soon as I get my contract. Like,
okay. All right.
When that segment started, right, I was like, oh, my God. Like, what did we just step backwards into? Like, what the fuck is this? And then I was thoroughly entertained throughout. I laughed a bunch of times. It was the wife, you know, overstepped her role, I think, a little bit. Like, she spoke a little too much in the video. And I was like, I don't want to hear what you're saying. Like, you're not really funny. You're making fun of someone's fat wife and, like, that stuff isn't funny. But Heath Slater, like, just living in the fucking trailer and being down in the dumps, that kind of thing was,
The flowers? My favorite part might have been the flowers, where she was like, oh, they smell just as good as they did on her wedding day.
Where are the kids? Oh, they're out back. What do you say? Picking cans or something? Like, oh my God, man.
So now they face off against the Headbangers. We're jumping around. I mean, I'm surprised. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't have been. But I felt like, okay, the Headbangers are back. So they're going to probably win. Like, I didn't think they would come in just to lose. Where have they been, by the way?
Just nowhere. But, like, for the last, I think, couple years, or at least a year or a couple months, they've been, like, tagging with the intention of making this comeback. So, cool to see that they got it. I don't really ever want to see them on the TV again. Like, I at first, the Headbangers were okay because they were weirdos, but very quickly, they fizzled out in the Attitude Era. And I don't want to see them. Like, they weren't good then. I still don't really think they're good now. And then they busted open Rhino. It's like, oh, all right. Yes, I get shit happens. But, like, come on. The guy didn't even get in the match, and he's bleeding on the apron. Like, oh.
Did they – all right. I can't recall. So when Mosh became Beaver Cleavage, what happened to Thrasher? Did he just, like, disappear? Because I can't remember anything
that. Wasn't Thrasher GTV?
Was he? I thought that was Goldust TV.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
At one point Thrasher did something weird. Well, I don't think he did much.
In any event, now they move on the tournament and they face. So Heath and Rhino will face.
Okay. Now, here's a very, very, very real question. Are Heath Slater and Rhino going to fucking win the tournament? Like, they face the Hypers. They can win that match, right?
Yeah.
Very easily I can see them winning that match. Great, no problem. The Usos face American Alpha. So let's say Alpha goes over. Alpha goes over, and it's Alpha and Slater and Rhino. Now, the Usos turn heel by costing Alpha the tag titles.
I mean, I think you would be wise to not have Alpha win it. You don't want Alpha to win it. You want Alpha to have to chase it.
I agree with you on that. However, do you really want your first tag team champions to be Heath Slater and Rhino? I think that sets a bad precedent, but I'm torn.
Yeah, but it's a storyline that they've invested in. Like,
it is a very good story.
I want Heath Slater to win the tag team titles. I want him to get a double wide.
I kind of do, too, but I don't like Rhino. But I wouldn't be opposed. Like, that's my whole thing, is, like, I wouldn't be opposed, and that kind of worries me because I should be. Like, it's the first tag team champions on SmackDown, and it's Heath Slater and Rhino. Okay.
Listen, if he can be a representative for in the United States government, right, for Detroit, Michigan, I'm pretty sure he can be a tag team champion.
I just think in, like, a year, we're going to look back at this and be like, what the fuck?
Well, that's Heath Slater and trivia. Rhino? It's going to be great trivia that someone's going to ask us in 3 years.
Yeah, who was the first SmackDown tag team champion?
Would you, by the way, I'm generally politically irresponsible, so I like when Grandpa...
Go ahead.
When
You don't even need to finish the question, but yes, I will let you finish your thought.
When Grandpa Al was the grandpa on the Munsters, all right, and he ran for mayor in New York when I was like 18, or it was very close to like the first time I could vote, and I legitimately voted for that man for mayor because whatever, I'm just an idiot. I would vote for Rhino. Would you vote for Rhino if he ran in New York?
I'm really struggling to find a wrestler that I wouldn't vote for.
Like, I think at this point, Hogan, I wouldn't vote for, though. I think he'd ruin America.
I would still vote for him because he's Hulk Hogan. Like, a wrestler? Are you shitting me? You know, I don't care what would happen after. I really...
Virgil.
Hulk Hogan would leg drop Al-Qaeda. Like, the memes and the things that would come out, they would be fantastic. It would be one of the most entertaining things in my life.
Imagine Virgil, and he's like, Virgil,
I would not vote.
Come on, America, we got to get that fuck money.
Meat sauce Mondays. Free Olive Garden for everyone. Oh, man.
All right. There's a lot of other stuff on Raw that we kind of skipped over. Is there anything? I feel like that was the biggest. I mean, the match was obviously the biggest thing, but I feel like everything else kind of was smaller. I loved Bayley with New Day. That was amazing.
That was fantastic. And like, I think people are really overreacting to like, oh, Bayley's part of the New Day. Like, no, that they're just boys. Like,
yeah,
I've seen them on up, down, down. Like, they tweet at each other all the time. Like, they're just friends. So yes, it makes perfect sense to put them together on TV. But like, Bayley is not a permanent member of the New Day. Like, that's not a thing. I don't think.
I almost think that, like, all right, when I saw her interaction with them and then the way she was in the ring. Is she a little bit, almost a little bit different, like a little goofier?
Nah, she's always.
I almost feel like I like her better now on Raw than I did on NXT somehow.
I think she just feels bigger on Raw, but that's always how she's been. Is that like, hey, let me give you a hug? Like that's where all that.
Oh,
shit
she's
started,
always been,
you know.
But she's been like, okay, so I feel like that was more like her being like legitimately like a nice person. But I feel like on Raw she was a little goofier. Like she was like just having. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure she was having fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think with the New Day, that lends itself. You know, it's the New Day. They're a joke. This is funny. So it's just kind of a natural thing.
And did you like Dana Brooke teaming
up? Yes.
That was really good, I thought.
I really liked her, like, with the glove and, you know, snapping it into place. I was like, oh, God. But she fit perfectly with them, I thought.
You know, there's. I wonder if they'll ever think about bringing in the Bullet Babe. She's wrestled in the Ring of Honor a couple of times. Why not bring her in?
And that's kind. Well, I mean, because you got to pay people money.
Well,
but
yeah.
That's kind of what I picture Dana Brooke because Amber O'Neill is not that much different looking. Like she's a big blonde girl,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like that's. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of fucked up. Like they just replaced his wife with you know. A different person.
Wait,
but I.
She's married to
Gallows.
Oh,
Amber O'Neill. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed that segment. I enjoyed Raw pretty much. Period. The opening was good. You know, it was a enjoyable episode. I liked that Cesaro lost again. You know, it good stuff. Keep going, and we're gonna get somewhere.
The greatest thing I can say about Raw is this: Statwife. And I had stayed up way too late on Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, the baby wakes up early, and that kind of is difficult to deal with when you're only, like, 4 or 5 hours sleep. So she said on Monday, I'm so happy it's Monday because I'm going to fall asleep during Raw. and she stayed up and watched the entire thing. And I think that's, I mean, she took like a little break, like for 45 minutes, and went and stopped paying attention during the middle of it. But she stayed up the entire time, and I think that's the best thing I can say about Roll, because almost every week she is asleep by 10 o'clock. And this week?
I mean, both of you are asleep by 10 o'clock. But, you know, that's okay. Beside the point.
I'm going to edit that out, just to be clear.
Why let the facts get in the way of a good story, right?
So then SmackDown, we started off with Miz, which I thought was a good way to start.
All right, well. Yeah, so we'll jump right into this. What the hell was real on that thing, and what the hell is not? Because I have no idea. You know, that whole segment last week on Talking Smack was ridiculous. And now this week, we get told that WWE doesn't want them together. They're being kept off screen. Bryan says on ESPN that he legitimately almost punched Miz in the face, and that's why he walked away. And if they're lying, then Daniel Bryan is wrestling. Like, that's all there is. But why? I don't know, man. Like, the things that are being said are real things, and I don't know what to make of them.
I think it's all a work. I do. I think the whole thing is a work. I think that maybe because they said real things, they both were able to react in a way. Like, they actually got mad about what was being said. Like, they were able to work themselves up more. But I think it was still a work.
But, so then, why have Dolph Ziggler step right into that feud? Like, they didn't address it on TV. That was it. Done.
Because I think it'll end up coming up at some point. Like, maybe Miz beats Ziggler, and then Bryan goes, you know what? You cheated.
Why wouldn't...
You're soft.
Well, why wouldn't Bryan come out and say, like, you know, oh, you know, hey, maybe that's true, so I'm going to put you against Dolph Ziggler. And then you go from there. Like, they just switched in Dolph Ziggler in place of Daniel Bryan in my mind.
All right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just to sell it.
Maybe. It just, something about it feels a little off. It, you know, I think whatever was supposed to happen, you know, they're supposed to just have a promo, go back and forth. I think Bryan said some real shit, and Miz took offense to it, and it he went. And, you know, whether those shots were cheap shots or not, Bryan saying he wrestled like a coward, that kind of a thing, is maybe that's a cheap shot to the Miz. So, I don't know, man. Like, if it's real, I couldn't tell you who's right or who's wrong. If it's not real, then... And, kudos to you, because you have me and at least half of the world believing that it was. So, great job.
If you are wrestling, or you just defeated someone who's able to wear a headband on their bicep, do you then come out wearing the headband to show that your head is the same size as his bicep?
Well, I mean, a headband stretches, but it makes AJ like that much better. It's this, you know, this character of AJ is easily the best he's ever been in my mind. Like, he was always awesome in TNA, but there was never that character. Then he found that character in New Japan, put it together with the matches. Now it's everything turned up on WWE TV, and he's gone to another level.
You think he beats Ambrose at the next event?
If you're booking WWE and you see the reactions and stuff right now, what do you do?
I mean, AJ wins.
Right, I believe so. Like, I the reactions he's getting, and the fact that he beat John Cena clean, kicking out of a top rope attitude adjustment while doing so, I think they're ready to make that move. And yes, maybe that makes Ambrose look better if Ambrose beats him, but I think Ambrose is struggling right now, and I think he's better as the chaser. So I think it's not a bad move.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel weird about this, because I like Ambrose, but I just don't feel that it's working. I don't know why. But I just don't feel like people really care about him being champion.
Yeah, like, I can't put my finger on what it is, that's particular, like you said, but the crowd is not giving him the reactions that he should be getting, and Austin shit on him on the podcast, so maybe, you know, inside the locker room kind of a thing, there's some resentment, or I don't know, something like that, you know, some belief that he's not doing everything he can or something. I don't know, but it's interesting, man. Because he was hot in the Shield. He was hot after the Shield and kind of just falling off once he won the belt.
So AJ took on, I'm blanking out right now.
Apollo Crews.
That was a good match.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. Like, there was no way Apollo Crews was winning, so there's always that. But that's okay. It maybe it sets up a challenger when he wins the belt, and that kind of a thing. Whatever, down the line type of scenario.
And anything else? So we had the Miz stuff. We had the Ziggler stuff. We had AJ. And that was really just about it.
Yeah, I mean, we had the tag matches, and we discussed those, and that was, yeah, it was really much.
Well, actually, Carmella's continuing her brutal beatdown.
You know, if you didn't see that one coming, then you haven't been watching TV. Like, as soon as Nikki Bella was there, I was like, oh, hell yeah, Carmella has to come out and beat her up. Like, there's, you know, perfect. And Carmella did a fantastic job again. Like, she legit makes me, like, I enjoy it, but I still get a little like, oh, what an asshole. Like, you know, I still get that way. So, that's amazing.
Interesting fact. First of all, Statwife hates JBL. Can't hate anybody more than JBL. And I'm not sure if it's JBL doesn't know how New York works, but he just kept saying, like, about how in her hometown of Brooklyn. And it's like, do you not know her gimmick is the Staten Island Princess, bro?
Well, I mean, you know, from New York, I guess. Like, Enzo is not from New York, and he did a whole thing on being from New York.
Yeah, but she's... I don't know. All right. It just... As somebody,
I get Brooklyn's not her hometown, but New York is. Like, you know,
grew up in Queens, live in Brooklyn. Don't say Staten Island is the same thing. Please don't do that. That's everybody knows that. Everyone in the four boroughs, my apologies, knows that you don't include Staten Island and Jersey together. You know, just don't go there. Come on, rather upsetting. But I actually enjoyed the women's match. I love Naomi's entrance. It's just been... It's fantastic. I don't know why no one's thought of that before. Why has it taken so long for someone to do that?
Yeah, I really don't know, but it's great. Like, it works. It was pretty cool. Like, I was excited to see it in person. Like, when she was coming out, I was like, oh, shit, Naomi, all right. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like, where... Why am I... Like, you know, but that entrance is dope as hell. And so, whatever, it works.
All right, then we had Cruiserweight this week as well.
Uh-huh.
So the big matches, you had Kendrick fighting Ibushi, which was the last match, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, both, you know, I thought that Kendrick sold it so well, and then afterwards they had the backstage segment with him and Daniel Bryan, and Bryan came out and, like, Kendrick was like crying, and they were hugging each other, and I thought that was a shoot. Like, I don't even know if that was work. Like, it just felt.
I mean, like, I saw in the ring, like, Bryan was crying. So, I mean, that definitely. I gotta watch it again because I really want to listen to the commentary, because I saw people saying like Daniel Bryan just loving Bryan Kendrick was like great TV, and you know, him just legitimately rooting for him and cheering him on. So I want to listen to that and see for myself. But I got a chance to you know, kind of just check out the matches I was watching while I was doing something else. But this is what I expect every week, you know? Like, there's phenomenal matches. There's, for me so far, still predictable winners. But it's great, man. It is so enjoyable and so good to watch. Something we definitely look forward to every week, and that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, so this is the end of the... Wait, is there... There's
this is the start of the quarterfinals. This is one more week.
So then...
I mean, and next week we get, what, TJP, Swan and Sabre d'Or, right?
Oh, man.
So those would be good.
And the finals are going to – I just can't – I'm not going to – the one thing I won't do for the finals is I'm not going to look at anything.
No, the semifinals are off limits.
Yeah, semifinals and finals, that's it. Like, I just want to – and now it's – I'm terrible with math, but they're going to be wrestling on the next week is the 7th. So that's the end of the quarters, and then the semis start the 14th.
I don't know when the semis start, but maybe that's something that they throw on Raw with the Cruiserweights. You know, I mean, they announced... Oh, well, it would be tough because of Ibushi and Sabre not being under contract. But, you know, whatever. I think they could figure that out.
All right. NXT was pretty good. I mean, Nothing really to write home about, I didn't feel. You had Shinsuke come out at the end and talk about how happy he was.
It felt like one of those weeks where it was just like a little bit of a reboot. You know, hey, here are these three new guys. And for the past, 2-3 weeks, Ty Dillinger has been the opening match and gotten clean wins. So that's cool to see. I'm glad he's finally getting some type of a little push. So, you know, I'm fine. They need to do these shows. They need to keep refreshing the roster and showing new talent. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, especially... So Gargano's already been... Gargano and Ciampa have been announced to be on the Cruiserweight... in the Cruiserweight division. You know, I read somebody...
And this week... Gargano wasn't there, and the Revival just beat up Ciampa.
Yeah.
So I like that, because not only is it adding an element of intensity to the tag feud, but it's also giving Ciampa, like, yo, where the hell were you type of moment when time needed. So
got to do it yourself.
No, it'd be fantastic if you said that to him.
I mean, the only thing that concerns me about the Cruiserweight is how many matches are they going to get on Raw a week? You're going to have, like, 16 dudes and... one or two matches.
Whoa, I don't. I mean, you have 100 guys on the roster, and you know, there's 6 matches on the show. So, like, I don't think it's anything new. But maybe they get an hour, so maybe they have 3 or 4 matches. Maybe we get 2 matches, like you said. And, you know, I don't need to see all 15 guys every week. But if these guys are also on NXT, then that helps out greatly. And I think that can also play into a little bit of Triple H's storyline with Owens. You know, when we see these guys, they're NXT guys, they're indie guys, they're this, they're that, they're somewhat associated with Triple H. So it'll be interesting to see what really comes from Triple H, because it'll trickle down to the rest of the shows.
See, I thought they were going to be exclusive to Raw. I didn't think that they would show up on NXT. So that's – I never – That adds, like, a different layer to it now.
I mean, they're on Raw, but, like, so are you just going to get rid of Gargano and Ciampa on NXT? Like, is that it? You know what I mean? I think some more than others will definitely be, like, you know, Norm Dar is not just going to be working on the main roster. Like, I can't see that. Like, he's not a main roster performer. Like, so I think he could use that seasoning in NXT and get used to this and get used to that, and, you know, kind of like practice. I think they're going to be more so NXT talents who just travel to Raw.
Fair.
So at least that would be the way that, you know, I would do this.
Speaking of some indie guys, we got to go to Field of Honor last weekend. Amazing. Amazing. First time that, I don't know about you, I think this is the same for you. First time I've ever been able to run up to the guardrail, right, you know, by the entranceway as wrestlers are making their way in.
Well, you know, there have been times where, like, the last time we went to Ring of Honor, Field of Honor, we were in the front row, and, like, people just didn't really come by us. And, like, the ring was a little bit further out than the crowd was, so they weren't as interactive as they were this time, that's certainly. But, you know, so we were close and just never quite got it. Then there was, I'm not sure if it was the, I think it was like the second or third Ring of Honor show. like the Kings of Wrestling, and we were in like the third row, but close to the barricade. And there were a couple times when we got over there, but nothing real. But this time, nobody really seemed to care until we were there every time. And then, there was no pushing and shoving. There was one row of people, and that was it. And man, that was fantastic. It was, you know, taking selfies with the Bucks and Elgin and the referees and this and that. Just too sweet and everyone. It was a good time, man. And, you know, it's those kind of things. Like, there was a guy sitting next to us dressed as Kenny Omega. And after Elgin had his match, Elgin was walking to the back. And he saw the guy as Kenny Omega because he was standing 2 feet in front of him. And just stopped, looked him up and down, and then, like, just, like, sighed and dropped his head. And it was one of the funniest things I've seen. You know, it was just like, ha, thank you, Elgin. Like, that's fantastic. So, you know, just those kind of interactions are what makes going to these kind of shows so much fun.
I thought that was a great event, like, top to bottom. I didn't think there was any match that I didn't enjoy.
I mean, I said this to you, like, on the car ride home, that I literally didn't remember anything that happened in the ring because I was just so excited or just enjoying myself so much with saying what's up to the wrestlers and going to this and that. I enjoyed the hell out of the show. It was great wrestling, but there were other elements that I was enjoying more so. But, you know, I can't wait to watch it on when it comes on demand or when they release it on TV. So that'll be a lot of fun and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, part of them. So they're going to, I don't know how they're going to do it because it's going to be VOD, but at the same time, was it like three times they said that they were doing something for TV?
I think so. There's three matches, yeah.
So they had us like cheering, and I think, I don't know, just watch out. In a couple weeks on RH TV, you might see Running Wild podcast guys front and center right in front of the camera.
There's no way that you don't. Like, there's one time we were at the barricade when they started, and like the guy was right, literally zoomed in on my face and the guy next to me. So if we're not, then I don't know. It's a conspiracy, like the Evolve footage where it would pan to the corner, stop at us, and then go back the other way. So you know, I guess we'll see what happens when the shows are released.
Oh no, they'll be like, wait a minute, is that that guy who gets way too excited when he sees certain wrestlers? We got to can him off camera. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll get rid of that. But that was pretty much everyone who was there in Ring of Honor, so that works out. We weren't the only ones.
So the card was great. You know, getting to see Naito, he is amazing. Just hilarious with the tranquilo, and just taking a break.
Yeah, like when he does a move and ends up just like laying down like, hey, what's up, man? It's awesome every time. And you know, I watch these guys on New Japan World a lot, and I get the feeling and strength behind their characters and how over and popular these guys are in Japan. So like getting to see them 5 feet away and interact with them was crazy. You know, like, when would I ever see John Cena 4 feet away from me taking a selfie or doing the eye thing? Like, literally, I did the eye thing. Naito looked at me and then did the eye thing. Like, so it was just like, oh shit, like, that's crazy. You know, just cool little things like that. Like, when are those things going to happen with someone else?
I feel like at these events, they're more willing to do that. Like, you know,
yeah, they didn't give a shit.
Ian Riccaboni, the Women of Honor commentator, he comes over and he, you know, I just thought that everybody was coming over and interacting in a way that you wouldn't see at the Manhattan Center, for example.
No, I mean, like when the Bucks came out during the tag team gauntlet, and then like they were walking to the back and they're like, "Nah, we're up next. Like, well, we'll be back, guys. Like, we'll be right back." And you know, you definitely the taking the selfies, that kind of thing. It's so much more relaxed. It's a house show. It's outside, so I think like everyone's a little more relaxed, everyone's having a little bit more fun, and that's awesome. You know, like seeing the guys at the top of the dugout just watching and interacting, that kind of thing is so cool because you don't see that. You don't see the locker room. You know, you don't get to see what these guys are doing while someone else is wrestling. So to see them on the top of the steps watching the matches and like at the end, we were you know, at the aisle when the main event was happening, and literally everyone who wrestled was, you know, in their gear or dressed, sitting in that dugout watching this main event. Like, they all knew that Adam Cole, Jay Lethal, Tanahashi, and Naito was going to be something they should watch. So that was awesome, you know, to see that they're still fans just like we are is cool.
And then, well, so then after the event, some big news came out this week from Ring of Honor that they were introducing a new championship. A lot of people were...
A lot of people, yes.
A lot of people were not sure about what it was going to be. So the news was that they came out with a six-man title. I actually thought that they were going to come out with a Women of Honor title just because they've been really focusing on that division. And even at the Field of Honor show, I mean, the match wasn't part of the main card. Like, it felt like it started a little bit before the show started. But, you know, Mandy Leon is from Brooklyn. She came and ran out and helped Deonna Purrazzo, who...
Who does commentary for the women?
So it was Ian Riccaboni and Vita Scott.
On, like, the Women of Honor, like, those, the complete shows? Like, that's who does the commentary?
Sometimes it's BJ. Since he's been evil, he hasn't been doing it. Because, mm-hmm. You know, and also if... There were times where he'd be on commentary, but if Kelly Klein's coming out, since he's kind of, like, mentoring her, he'd be like, I'll be right back. And then he, like, goes to the ring with her, and Ian might be by himself. If Vita's not wrestling, then a lot of times, then she's on it. Of course, if she's wrestling, then she's not on it.
I was just asking because, like, you know, from what I see, and this is, like, probably why I haven't watched more Women of Honor, is, like, it's a separate event. You know, it's a separate show. And so I get why. I get that. But, like, are they trying to make it, like, you know, I feel like they already had a relationship with Shimmer or Shine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were like, oh, they're sister company, that kind of a thing. So if they're trying to make it, like, its own thing, then that's a little weird to me. But I would just like it to be part of the show. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it says, you know, that when it's a separate show and they're on the pre-card and all of that, it's like, oh, they're not good enough yet to be on the main roster. But that's not true for them.
And it doesn't,
you know,
make sense.
They're exactly. So that's my whole holdup, is like, just when they start getting, you know, and not that they're not getting respect, but when they start getting more on the cards of Ring of Honor, then that'll be something that I'm more interested in, you know, is when they're a part of the main show.
I mean, I,
as they should be.
I wrote about it. So after the announcement that they were coming out with the six-man championship, I wrote an article for Last Word on ProWrestling.com about how the women deserve the title, and how, like, for example, Mandy, when you have a hometown person, that's always a great pop that you're going to get, you know, and Mandy Leon and Deonna Purrazzo, when they rebooted the Women of Honor matches, they were the two that, like, 2 years ago, or a little over a year ago, actually, right after Death Before Dishonor in Baltimore, they were on that show. They started it off. So now you have Taylor Hendricks, who plays a really good heel. She goes out, and she ends up beating Purrazzo and then starts putting the boots to her, and Mandy comes out. And, you know, the problem that I wrote about this, the guys are still, a lot of the fans are still standing online trying to get autographs. You know,
yes,
you
100%.
Didn't, you didn't.
Like, we didn't, you know, we were looking for parking for half an hour, but, like, we got into the stadium as the match was, like, 3 minutes, like, till the end, you know? So, yeah, I completely agree with that. And that's my biggest thing is, you know, just show them a little more respect. And maybe that's where this is going. Maybe it's building up to that point, you know? So hopefully we're not too far off. I had a question. When Taylor Hendricks was wrestling, when Truth was there, he would come out with her?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. I like to see that. You know, a woman with the manager is something different, so that would add a cool element when he comes back.
I hope he comes back soon. I missed that guy on TV. He's so good.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Hendricks is easy on the eyes, so I enjoy watching her wrestle.
Yeah, she's been great. I mean, I like a lot of what they're doing there. They're keeping Hendricks away from Klein, so, you know, Klein's got this kind of undefeated streak going on. I kind of wrote that she's, you know, she's like their Brock Lesnar. She's like, you know, people put up a good fight, but she in the end just is too much for them. And if you have a title, then when the face does defeat her, it'll be more exciting. You know, it'll go over more than just.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, and like, you know, that's why when you were talking about, you know, privately we were discussing the belts, and you have mentioned the Women of Honor, and I was like, I don't think they're ready for that yet. I think they're a little bit of a subdivision still, like I said, and once they get to that main spot, then when you have the belt, and then when you have the characters developing and that sort of a thing, it means so much more. And, you know, Ring of Honor is very good at storytelling and just putting people in positions where they're good, their characters don't have too many layers, they are what they are. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the women. And, you know, I'm not the biggest women's wrestling fan. Like, I don't go out of my way to catch Shimmer and those kind of shows. So I don't know the women that are going to be in Ring of Honor. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they introduce them and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, and I'm still, now on the flip side, I'm glad I wasn't really sold at first, but the more I think about it, the more I actually like the idea of the six-man title.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely a little more in favor of it than you were at the beginning. But, you know, they're going to have the matches, so why not have a title for it? It's mm-hmm. a big part of New Japan, so that relationship, it's a big part of CMLL. So, you know, it'll be a cool tournament. You know, we'll definitely get some from different teams. And, you know, it's something I've enjoyed. I think it's actually this weekend or coming up soon is King of Trios mm-hmm. and Battle of Los Angeles. So those are two things that I really enjoy. Like, I enjoy the hell out of some certain six-man tags. Yes, I don't like seeing them every single week. You know, I think they get a little watered down. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy those tournaments because you get teams sometimes that aren't really teams. And it's fun to see who allies up to go after these titles, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Ospreay is going to be on the cards in England, and he said that he'd be representing Chaos, so maybe, you know, he'll be in the tournament with two guys from, you know, maybe with Romero and Trent, and Ospreay team up against somebody else. This is also a way. I don't want the Cabinet to have the tag team titles, but I would be totally fine with them having these titles. You know, and I feel like at some point they're going to need something in some way to.
I think right now they need something in some way. Yes.
Yeah,
I completely agree with that. Like, this gives an opportunity to, like, you know, like I was saying, some people who ally up, this is an opportunity for them as well to get a shot at something, you know?
Completely agree. All right, so
it'll be interesting to see, because you know they're going to be used in New Japan at some point. So it'll be interesting to see how Ring of Honor-ish these titles stay, you know, and the never six-man tag and the IWGP tags, like, they bounce back and forth like nobody's business. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see, like I said, what happens once these titles are there and, you know, they're being defended in Japan. And because with the six-man tags and the openness of them, anyone can win them at any time. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make six-man tags a lot more interesting for me, because sometimes I just feel like six-man tags or eight-man tags are just a way to get all the talent in there, and this makes it more meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, when there's no point, they're, you know, like, duh, they get pointless. You know, they become meaningless. Mm-hmm. So definitely having the six-man tag titles will add to that, and hopefully, eventually, you know, Kenny Omega, I get it, he's huge in Japan right now, but the visa issues aside, hopefully this guy gets the Ring of Honor soon, because there are some big things he could be doing there, and I would really love to see it.
In complete agreement. All right, well, I think that's kind of it for the PW Insider, Pro Wrestling Insider rankings came out this week.
I think it's Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Sorry. They came out this week, and Roman Reigns is number one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we discussed this a little bit off air. It's for those who don't know, it is a kayfabe list. It is based on wins and losses and title wins and that sort of a thing. So, it is what it is. Roman Reigns is not the best wrestler on the planet, but And kayfabe-wise, perhaps he was the most successful this year. And, you know, yes, it's not the list that I want to see, but it is enjoyable to see where they rank these guys based on what I'm actually watching on TV, because that's kind of, you know, the point. You don't rank basketball teams based on their talent. You rank them based on how good they're doing. So it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just being a little bit of a mark for women's wrestling this week. But you rank 500 wrestlers. You can't get any up there? Any women?
Well, I don't know that they're included. You know,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't think they do, but I'm wondering why not. You know, that's my only.
They might have like a separate women's list.
I don't.
But you know, like a lot of other, how many companies featured women predominantly? You know, so
true.
The top ranked woman would be somebody in a company that a lot of people don't know, but that's fine. But like, how are you going to rank Nikki Bella? Like, is she, I don't know, or not Nikki Bella, that's a bad example, but like certain women who don't wrestle, like they have a match every month, you know what I mean?
But you know, with the match that we watched last year between Sasha and Bayley at NXT, you know, it's just one of those things that wasn't such a big platform, you know, that
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
You know.
And on a side note, all right, I know it's kayfabe, right? And they probably don't really care about it. But if you're Nick Jackson, are you just a little upset that Matt's ranked ahead of you? Like, or does Matt, like, rub that in?
I forgot to look where they were ranked. So Matt
apart.
Was ranked
it's,
ahead of
it's
him?
It's three apart, yeah.
So I guess because when Nick got hurt, maybe Matt had another match that he won or something like that,
yeah.
You know?
But I just like the idea. Like, if I were Matt, I would never let Nick live that down.
No, 100%. You know, like, I don't know, I don't think you've ever listened to, like, the Talk and Chop with the Bullet Club guys, but, like, every episode, Carl Anderson would be like, oh, and I'm Carl Anderson. Yeah, I went to the finals in the G1 2012. And, like, you know, they would just be like, oh, here we go. So, it's funny.
I could just
imagine. Definitely bug each other with
it's,
that kind
it's,
of
it's
stuff.
Labor Day weekend, and Nick's like, yo, Matt, can you grab me a beer? And he goes, if you were ranked higher than me, I would, but, you know. Like,
100%.
1,000 times. And did you see the top 18 wrestling podcasts? I believe Rolling Stone came out with a list this week.
We were number one, or what?
I mean, I demand a recount, because somehow we were not featured on this. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is why you need to go to Twitter. I mean, not Twitter. Yeah, go on Twitter. Tweet about this, all right? Go to our iTunes. Go to iTunes Store. Leave us a review. Write the review so that Rolling Stone doesn't ignore us next time. I mean, this is absurd.
I mean, the four people writing responses should really do us wonders. It should really steamroll us into the top-ranked podcast on iTunes. I can't see any other reason why not. Like, hey, four people are upset that these guys aren't ranked. Oh shit! What are we doing wrong here?
Hey, if you write Running Wild
and
into
two
the
of
search
them
engine,
are the hosts? What the hell?
If you write Running Wild on the search engine, all right, of the iTunes Store, we are this. It finishes the search. It says Running Wild Podcast. I'm like, yeah, this is fantastic. So you know, but get out there, guys. Do some. What is it? Publicizing, not publicizing. Picket, I don't know. Picket. We want to see riots. We want to see people with signs. Something. All right. Do you have anything left for this week?
I don't think so.
I think
no.
I irritated you for the last time. All right. Well, with all that, I just want to remind you guys to go. Please make sure you guys actually go over and click on Last Word on Pro Wrestling. You know, we used to be Last Word on Sports /Wrestling. We now have our own URL, and we're covering a lot more. It was a little bit WWE-centric, and I was kind of like the ROH guy there. But now we've been publishing a lot more about, you know, Chikara and just all different wrestling companies. So it's become a little bit more diversified. So please go over and take a click there. You can always find my writing over at pwponderings.com. follow us over at Running Wild Podcast. Running Wild LWOS on Twitter. If you see any lame tweets, those would be me. If you see any poignant, interesting tweets while you're watching wrestling, follow along. Runs has done a great job of being on there, being very active during the events, so make sure that you're following us along. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at rich_Laconi. And you can find us everywhere you can find your podcasts, whether that's iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, just tons of places. Just Google our name, you'll find us somewhere. And with that out of the way, I want you guys to have a fantastic Labor Day weekend. And don't forget that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.